If you have a sweet tooth, desserts are one of life's greatest joys. From cakes to cookies to puddings, there's no shortage of sweet treats out there.
But as we all know, desserts weighed down with sugar and butter are tasty, but not always the healthiest things to eat.
What if there was a way to dial back a little bit on the sugar and add in some healthy stuff along the way? Or make desserts that could cater to people who might have dietary restrictions while still being delicious?
Genevieve Koh joins us now to bring us some tips on healthier baking. She's the author of Better Baking, Wholesome Ingredients, Delicious Desserts. Genevieve, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Genevieve, when did you first hit on this idea that you could make traditional desserts, but you could change them up a little, make them healthier, and also sometimes make them even more delicious than the original version?
Well, the very first time was when my daughters turned one, and I decided to make them a birthday cake. So I wanted to make a cake that was going to be really delicious, but also good for them because, you know, they're my babies. And I ended up making a carrot cake because that seemed like a no-brainer. And I loaded it with extra carrots and I used all whole grain flours and I cut back. Actually, I cut out the butter altogether, but I cut back on the sugar a lot. And I used oil and applesauce and orange juice instead. And the resulting cake actually was so good that all the adults at the party were raving about it. And they were telling me that it was the best carrot cake they'd ever had. And that was the moment when I realized, oh, actually, when you add these wholesome ingredients, it can make a classic dessert taste even better than the original and not just be, you know, just as good as, but even tastier.
And Genevieve, I've had some good, healthy desserts in my life. I've had some bad ones, too, that were kind of dry and not that good. And if I'm reading you right, the design principle for good and healthy dessert seems to be you're not just omitting stuff, you're actually finding flavors that take the place and, as you say, maybe even make it better.
Absolutely. When I was creating the recipes for Better Baking, you know, at that point I'd been baking professionally for a long time. Let's just put it that way, a long time. And my number one priority was to make the desserts as delicious as possible. I wanted them to be the most delectable desserts you'd ever tasted. So that was my number one priority. You know, the fact that I got to that place by using wholesome ingredients is just an added side benefit that you know that you're getting good vitamins, minerals, vegetables, whole grains, seeds, nuts, and you're getting all this good stuff, but it's in the name or in the interest of making these desserts have more layers of flavor and more textures than the classics.
And you found that with a Russian tea cake recipe too, right?
Yes.
What did you change there?
So the Russian tea cakes, which some people know as Mexican wedding cookies or just as butterballs, I think a lot of people just call them butterballs or butternut balls, they're classically just butter, nuts, you know, flour, white sugar. And what I did was I made them with walnuts first just because I love walnuts, and I swapped out some of the butter for olive oil, and it gave it this sort of savory note. And then I swapped out the white flour for a combination of rye flour and whole wheat pastry flour. And both of those flours have this natural nuttiness that actually highlights the nuttiness of the walnuts. And that combined with the richness of the olive oil with the butter, it just had so many different layers of, you know, a little bit of savory with plenty of the sweet, but not so much sugar that it was overpowering. And you got just all this toasty nuttiness, you know, throughout the cookies.
Mm. You mentioned a couple of your substitutions, oil for some of the butter, different kinds of flours that bring new flavors in. And you also talk about, I mean, some of your recipes use white sugar, but others use different kinds of sweeteners that maybe, you know, they add flavor and you can use a little bit less of them.
Yes, absolutely. In all of them, I actually scaled back on the sugar as much as I could just because I always prefer desserts where you can taste the flavors of the desserts and not just sweetness. And every once in a while, I'll actually eat desserts where not only am I overcome by an intense sugar rush, all I taste is the sugar. And so I thought, well, you know, if you're going to make something, you want it to actually taste like what it's supposed to be. And so I cut back on the sugar, but, you know, kept enough of it in so that it still tastes like a sweet treat. And also because sugar plays a chemical role when you're baking, it adds moisture and it adds tenderness. But there were definitely times when I swapped out white sugar for things like unrefined maple syrup and raw honey. And those natural sweeteners have these great complex layers of flavor too. That and also lots of fruits and even sweet vegetables in different forms can add lots of moisture and lots of really interesting flavors.
We're talking with Genevieve Koh right now on this week's installment of Food Friday. She's the author of Better Baking, Wholesome Ingredients, Delicious Desserts. And Genevieve, let's dig into a recipe or two. You shared one that I bet a lot of people are going to be interested in, especially if they've got kids. This is called School Party Sheet Cake.
Oh, yes.
Tell us about that one. What's in it?
Yeah, absolutely. So the School Party Sheet Cake is exactly what it sounds like. I created it because I actually have three kids now, and there are lots of school parties. And every once in a while, I'll go into them, and these kids are just wired, and they're bouncing off the walls. And I think, oh, that's not really nice for the teacher to just come in and bring them straight up, you know, sugary treats. And I thought, you know, there must be a way for me to make a treat for them that also packs in some good stuff that they would enjoy. And so I made a chocolate chip chocolate cake, but I loaded it with zucchini. And when you add shredded zucchini to the cake, it actually makes the cake incredibly moist and really tender, too. So it actually has the texture of like a box cake mix, but with a much pure, you know, much more pure chocolatey flavor. And then on top, actually, after lots of experimentation and just thinking outside of the box, I created a two-ingredient frosting that's as swirly and sweet as the canned stuff, but it's made with just chocolate and sweet potato puree. And when you combine those two things, it is so smooth and creamy. The kids just go crazy for it. And this isn't in the interest of, like, I'm not trying to sneak vegetables in or anything. They just happen to make the cake taste really, really great. And it's definitely the most requested recipe from all of my, not just all of my kids and their friends, but the teachers and the other parents as well. And I've found that ever since the book has come out, I've been getting lots of emails and people telling me how that cake is such a winner for them because the cake is so moist and the frosting is so smooth and creamy. And the fact that it's only two ingredients that you can stir in a saucepan makes it all the more appealing.
Yeah, I'll say I was surprised to see zucchini in the cake and then sweet potato in the frosting. But then I thought, you know, you make zucchini bread. That's in the dessert family,
yeah.
Sweet potato pie. So, yeah,
yep.
Reaching out into more traditionally savory ingredients, like you were saying earlier with the carrots, can pay off, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. I even do a cake that is actually made with beets. And it is obviously normally a savory dish, but sometimes, you know, when you have a roasted beet or, you know, roasted beets and salad, I often will think to myself, wow, these beets are so delicious. They're like dessert. And that thought made me experiment with them in some desserts, and they turned out to be such a hit. And in my take on a red velvet cake, that comes out this gorgeous red color without any food coloring at all. And that's been both, you know, again, kid and adult approved and tested over many times. But when you add things like savory, things that are sweet vegetables, actually, but, you know, are normally seen in savory dishes, they can often bring really exciting and interesting flavors to desserts that still taste familiar and comforting, too.
Yeah, I want to ask you about the kid approval on these healthier desserts. Do kids like them? Because they have a pretty sweet tooth, at least my daughter does. Do they ever say, oh, this doesn't taste quite sweet enough, or are they just on board with it and they think everything's delicious?
Actually, all of these recipes were not only tasted by my own kids, but by lots of classmates, teammates on all their different sports teams. And they are the best critics. So in the making of this, no, they really are, because they are very honest. Right?
I know about that. Yeah.
Yuck.
They do not mince words. But it was fantastic because in the process, you know, recipe development is definitely a process. And all of these recipes I personally tested, you know, at least a dozen times, just coming up with the right formula. And then I sent them out to professional testers as well. And then also to friends who just tested them for fun at home. And all of them really are very much kid approved. There are a few here and there where the flavors are perhaps more sophisticated than your average kid would appreciate. But for the most part, everything in here has been pretty universally appealing.
It's Food Friday, and Genevieve Koh is with us right now. She's talking about her book, Better Baking, Wholesome Ingredients, Delicious Desserts.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, maybe your advice. What are some of your favorite healthy desserts? Have you tried substituting more fruit and nuts, whole grains, less butter, less sugar, you name it? Do you have questions about our guest about the best ways to get some more healthy stuff into your desserts, into your baking? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page and get some recipes while you're there, including that cake we were just talking about.
We're continuing our conversation about making healthy desserts with Genevieve Ko, the author of Better Baking, Wholesome Ingredients, Delicious Desserts.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about healthier ingredients to maybe swap in and out of favorite recipes? Maybe you have some tips yourself about a healthier dessert that you've made that's a big hit with your family. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or leave a comment and find some recipes from our guest on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Isaiah is on the line in Sobieski. Isaiah, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to bring
up? I have a lot of butternut squash left over from gardening this summer. I was wondering if we had any way to incorporate that. And as a side note, just add an extra layer of difficulty, my sister and I are allergic to milk and eggs.
Wow, okay.
I'm pretty good at substituting them in just about anything, especially if there's two eggs or less.
Isaiah, thanks so much for that question. I would think maybe Genevieve, some kind of pumpkin bread, but with squash instead of the pumpkin bread. But degree of difficulty, allergic to milk and eggs. Any ideas?
Well, Isaiah, I do hope that you do get a copy of Better Baking, because I have in there a recipe for butternut squash scones that are actually both dairy-free and they have no eggs.
No kidding.
And they also have no nuts if you're allergic to nuts, too. Just throwing that out there. So it's a recipe that I did using a butternut squash that, you can either roast or steam. I prefer roasting because I feel like the oven actually concentrates the sweetness of the squash. So I guess the first thing you can do if you happen to just have the squash on hand is you can just roast a bunch of squash till it's soft and go ahead and puree it all so you have it all ready to go. And I mix that puree with a flour mixture, and I actually add some ginger in there because I just love butternut squash and ginger together, and I use coconut oil instead of butter. And I use maple syrup, actually, instead of refined sugar. And when you combine the maple syrup with a squash, which is such a great natural combination, you can use that as the sort of dairy that you would normally use in a scone. So you use the coconut oil in place of the butter and the butternut squash puree with some syrup to give it a more liquid texture. And you use that instead of the cream that you would normally use in a scone. And you get these great scones from doing that.
Well,
Go ahead,
Genevieve.
I was going to say, it's just, I love butternut squash so much, and you can even just sort of whir it into like a pudding using, again, I love coconut milk or almond milk. You can use it as a filling for any sort of pastry. So I feel like the options are really endless.
Isaiah, good luck with that. Some options there for you. Sound pretty tasty. And Genevieve, let's talk about another of the recipes that you gave us, one for coconut mochi. These look really fun. I like mochi. I never thought about making them, but tell us about what goes into these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So mochi is a Japanese dessert that's made with rice flour. And it's also in other Asian cultures, too, just using rice flour to make little desserts. And they have the thing with mochi is that it has this amazing texture that it's hard to find a comparison to in Western desserts. But it's like a cross between pound cake and marshmallow and saltwater taffy, in that it's really soft and it's actually a little bit chewy, but it's also really rich and delicious. And traditionally, mochi is made by pounding sticky rice until it forms a cohesive mass. But nowadays, you can buy sweet rice flour. And so this mochi actually uses sweet rice flour, but it's made with coconut milk to give it this rich coconut flavor. And it's so easy. You just whisk everything in a bowl, and then you can throw it in the oven instead of steaming it. So again, the more traditional method is to steam it. But you can just throw it in the oven, and it's one of the most delicious desserts in this book. I know I shouldn't play favorites, but it's definitely our family favorite. And anytime I bring it to a party or bring it anywhere, it is absolutely, it just disappears in a second. So whether or not anybody already knows they like mochi, they discover that they do once they have it.
That recipe and others on the Central Time Facebook page as we talk about using wholesome ingredients in our desserts with Genevieve Ko. Her new book is called Better Baking. Back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Lizzie is on the line in Eau Claire. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was calling because we found out a few years ago that my mom is both allergic to wheat and gluten intolerant. So even sprouted wheat, she's not allowed to have. And so I'm a baker and cake decorator and thought, I don't even know what I'm going to make her. And so I found a recipe for a black bean chocolate cake that uses absolutely no flour at all. And you can't tell the difference. It makes the most incredible moist chocolate cake you've ever had. And it's just all you need is a blender. You drain a can of black beans, 6 eggs, a tablespoon of vanilla, half a cup of honey, and you blend it all up with a quarter cup of cocoa, stick it in the oven, and you're all set. It's absolutely amazing.
Lizzie, I got to say, my gut reaction to a black bean cake is that it sounds terrible. You promise me this is really good? People like this?
You cannot tell. It purees completely smooth so that you don't have any chunks of beans or anything. And it is what I give my kids every year for their birthday.
Wow.
Whenever I make cupcakes, you cannot tell that there are black beans in it. So you are actually sneaking in that protein, and it's completely wheat and gluten-free.
Lizzie, thank you so much for sharing that Genevieve black beans in our baking.
I think that sounds great. I think that sounds like so much fun. I have to confess, in Better Baking, I did a similar thing with brownies. But instead of using black beans, since we're talking about Japanese ingredients, I use red adzuki beans, which are very common in a lot of Japanese desserts, and they're just a bit sweeter, and their skins are a little softer than black beans. So I use those in brownies, and it's a really great combination with chocolate, and it creates a really amazing, smooth, silky texture.
Yeah, I agree. I've actually had brownies with black beans in them during the Sneaky Chef era. And yeah, yes. You really can tell that they're there. And I have a grown-up palate, and I did not discern any beans. So, Rob, you should try it for sure.
All right. I guess I'll give it a shot. Thanks for sharing that, Lizzie. One more recipe that you shared with us. I think we have this one up on the Central Time Facebook page, too. You do a lot of granolas in the book. You've got apricot pine nut granola bars. Tell us about that.
I love having granola bars to have as a snack or as a treat, and I really like making them on my own because you get to use just the best ingredients and to do really creative combinations, and they just taste so much fresher. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to give granola bars a spin with sort of flavors from sort of the Middle East. And so here I combine dried tart apricots with pine nuts and also with a bit of cardamom, which is one of my favorite spices. And I use those to make these granola bars with honey and actually, again, with olive oil to give it that little savory note. And these they have all the sort of heartiness of a standard granola bar, but it actually almost tastes like a dessert that you would get in a fancy restaurant because the flavors have so many different things going on with the buttery pine nuts and the tartness from the apricots. They just really combine into a delicious, what I would call dessert. I know that they're meant to be sort of like a healthy snack, but they're tasty enough where they feel as satisfying as a dessert.
And those, again, also up on the Central Time Facebook page. And Genevieve, I want to ask you about your cookies. I came across a few cookie recipes that didn't have any flour, and I was really intrigued. Like the peanut butter cookies, you say taste even more peanutty because they don't have, a lot of white flour in them. How do those work?
Yeah, absolutely. So throughout Better Baking, I actually have a lot of desserts that don't use any gluten or actually even any grains. And again, I do that, of course, sometimes because I want to make something special for a friend or a family member who can't have gluten or grains. But the real motivation, again, is that sometimes when you take out the grains altogether, you get an even more intense flavor. And the peanut butter cookies are a perfect example, right? When you're making a classic peanut butter cookie, you're adding a lot of white flour. And what that does is actually dampens the taste of the peanut butter itself. And so my peanut butter cookies have very few ingredients, because what you really end up getting is the taste of the peanut butter. So it's almost like you're getting that, I don't know if anybody else loves peanut butter as much as I do, but that feeling of having a whole spoonful of just peanut butter by itself, but with the texture of a cookie. And so I really love doing things like that. You know, I have a similar cookie that's like a chocolate and pecan cookie where there are no grains at all, but you grind up the pecans with chocolate for these sort of fudgy little cookies, and you really can taste the toasty pecans and the cocoa all together. And it's just much more pronounced when you actually eliminate the flour altogether.
Well, we've talked some about cake and cookies and scones. I don't want to slight the pie lovers out there. Any advice? We don't need to get in a particular recipe, but a general advice on the crust or the filling to get wholesome ingredients in.
Yeah, absolutely. Pies are easily one of my favorite things to bake. There's just so much pleasure in the process and also in the sharing of the pie at the end. And what I did with the pies here is I really experimented with trying different takes on pie crusts. You know, I have one that doesn't actually use any butter at all. That's actually an oil-based pie crust. And this was created actually for friends who just couldn't have any dairy. And you're able to get really interesting textures that way. So with the oil-based crust, it was really has this lovely cookie-like texture. Of course, I do still have a classic crust, but instead of just using all white flour, I actually swapped in rye flour as well, and it's for an apple pie. And when you do something like that, you have this rye flour that adds all this amazing nuttiness and richness, and with the apples, it's just this amazing combination that makes, to me, the apples taste even more apple-y. And so for the pies, it's really fun to introduce these different grains. You know, I use cornmeal in some and oats and others for that nubby texture. And in other ones, I love adding nuts into the crust because it makes them even richer and more tender with their natural fats. But it also adds the nutty flavor at the same time.
We'll leave it there for now. Genevieve, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was such a pleasure.
That's Genevieve Coe. She's the author of Better Baking, Wholesome Ingredients, Delicious Desserts. She joined us on this Food Friday to give us the lowdown on how to make your sweet treats a little bit healthier. We've got three of the recipes from the book linked on the Central Time Facebook page. You can find them on WPR.org as well. You're going to try one of these this weekend?
Well, it looks like it's going to be another gloomy January weekend. So, yeah, what else can you do? It seems like a good time to, you know, cheer yourself up with some baking.
Yeah, so that the cake, you make it Sunday night, bring it in Monday morning.
And you'll be
like
making
that.
Which recipe?
I'll be making plans to eat the delicious cake that my pal Veronica made.
That's how it is.
Again, check it out, Central Time Facebook page.